Hello, and welcome to the Love Bite.
Hi.
Why do I feel like we just did this?
Because maybe. It sounds like we're having sex, but we're not.
Wow. Well, there you go. That happened. Hi. I guess it's a good thing we don't have a topic. What we're talking about. Okay.
Sorry about that.
We did kind of have a topic. Because it's not a what the fuck episode.
It's not really. I mean, we're taking your calls and your questions. We actually already have a few questions.
So we should probably give you the number, and that's 800-893-9562. That's 800-893-9562. And ask whatever you... Well, hold on.
First, before we go there.
Yes.
I'm Insidious Muse.
And I'm Service Slut.
And we have a guest in studio.
Yes.
Who is... what do you want to be known? Beast. I call him Beast.
Yes.
On Twitter, he's Peeping Eric. Would you like to say hello?
Hello.
This is Boston, people. So yes. Boston's in studio.
This is that
So
guy.
For those of you who heard us talk about Boston, this is Boston.
Uh-huh. For those of you who listened to our long-distance DS, online DS... And then I was like, Mistress, but why did you not want to talk about this? And she's like, well, blah, 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 blah. All of that. This is him.
Really? Is that what I said? I said, well, blah, 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 blah.
No. I'm nice. Just trying to summarize it for other
nice,
people.
Nice. Okay, so far we have a few. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I'm sorry.
Wait.
Young lady.
Yes.
With her hand up.
Thank you.
Yes.
I'm polite about that, aren't I?
Yes, you are.
Before we say we'll take any questions and we'll answer anything, is there anything that's off limits for you?
I didn't say that we will answer everything. We can take any question. We can completely decide not to answer it for whatever reason.
Okay.
I recall there was a time, this is a long time ago, when somebody called in and asked how to do fire play.
Oh.
And I just said, I will not answer that. I'm not. That's dangerous for me to do that, answer that over the radio. So.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So, case-by-case basis.
So do we want to start with what we already have?
Absolutely.
I don't want to start with that one, let's be honest. Because
it's hard.
No. Well, there's the hard one, and then there's the one where it was a question directly to me, and I don't want to ask that. So we got a question from Mistress Kalem, and mm-hmm. she said, do you ever find interacting with other dominants in new clubs challenging? If so, how do you resolve issues? Here's my thing is I don't necessarily know if it has anything to do with new clubs, but I guess sometimes interacting with other dominants can be issueful. It happens.
I think, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like, you know, with dominance, it's, you know, everybody kind of has this like, I'm a domly dom. And that's on a spectrum. You know?
Yeah, it depends.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, it's very, you know, you have those that are complete, like, ass douches. And then you have those that have, like, that healthy level of arrogance. That,
right.
You know? So I think it kind of depends. I mean, I think if you interact, again, just guessing, because I'm not a D-type, but I'm assuming that if you interact with someone that's kind of on the same level with you in terms of confidence and dumbliness. Maybe there isn't that much of a problem?
For me, it boils down to respect. You know, it's about mutual respect. And if there is a dominant that demands and expects respect from anybody and everybody because they are a dominant and for no other reason, I'm going to have some bit of an issue. And in general, I avoid them in a dungeon kind of situation because it's a public place. They can go there, and I can choose not to affiliate or associate with them. Mm-hmm. Just like it is with any kind of situation, with any, even a vanilla kind of a work. Let's say there's that guy at work that you just can't stand. You just avoid him.
Yep.
You're like, oh, no, he's in the coffee room. I'm going to go someplace else.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's the same concept. So, but if it does turn into, there is a debate or there is some conflict that happens, mm-hmm. The truth of the matter is that boils down to using good conflict resolution skills, good negotiation skills, and some really good communication and PC skills, which kind of sucks. But you know what? you got to be the bigger person. You have to, it's not about your ego, and it's not about, well, this is how I look. Fuck that. You know, if that's all you care about, then you kind of are taking three steps closer to being a douchey dom, if that's all you care about. But if it's about, look, mutual respect, and this is who I am, and this is what I am, and I know that I need to look myself in the mirror tomorrow, then you handle things in a very different way. But without knowing specifics, I couldn't possibly address the specificity of that kind of question.
I like the way you answered it, though. You're so adorable.
I'm adorable.
So sexy and stuff. That's all the stuff.
Me.
And, yeah.
And, yeah.
I can't, I mean, you get it. You totally get it. I'm pointing at Beast. You get the thing. Somebody tweeted today about how they had a soft spot for you. And I said in response, well, fuck, she's like an addiction I don't want to kick.
Yeah, it's great.
Right? I mean, right?
Yeah. Wow. All right. So
it is. It's the look.
Like the one I got this morning?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. And the one you're getting right now. Or you that you were getting.
I am pre-blushing.
Yeah, no, you're blushing.
I'm blushing. I actually am. I'm blushing. That's the kind of shit that makes me blush. Wait. Compliments.
Wait, whoa. Excuse me? Excuse me. That's the kind of thing that makes compliments make you blush.
Yep.
But I compliment you all the time and you don't blush.
But it's the first time you gave me whatever a compliment was, I blushed. You may not have noticed it because you always look down. But if you're looking at me, you might have seen it. But because
eyes.
It's the same compliment, you know, I know you're going to say that. So thank you. But that was a whole different compliment, which was like, wow, kind of, yeah. You know. And then I got it from two people.
Right.
So it's like, three if you want to count Man in Chains.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That was. Anyway, before we move on to the other questions.
She's actually blushing now.
Somebody else needs to talk.
Okay, I'll talk for a second.
It's been, you know, since because the other questions are quite a bit more challenging.
Yes.
And I really don't want to dominate the show. Oh, wait, I do. Anyway. Well, then, like, one of them is specifically about, like, me. And so that's one of those things. But I would actually like to open it up to everybody for us. But we've been having an interesting weekend.
We have.
We did. When Beast arrived, Boston arrived, he got some special treatment.
Yeah,
and you may have been following that on the Twitter. And if you didn't follow it, I hashtagged it property inspection. So you go ahead and you treat yourself to that. You go ahead and you look at that.
So I'm just going to give a brief rundown for y'all because there were several people that were curious about what was going to happen.
Those of you in Boston who know me should turn your radio down.
Now. No,
this is the
no.
adult part of the conversation.
I think the entire conversation is adults.
We are an adult-oriented show. P.S. Don't listen with your kids in the car. So
it started off with me going to pick him up.
Yes, from the airport.
Yes, and I was so excited because I like being of service to mistress all of the time, and this to me was like super service because I was being super servicey and picking up a special package just for her. And so this was great. And so
a special package,
special delivery.
Yeah. Ew. You're gross.
You're the one who commented on his package.
You're the one that's referring to the package as his. Special place package.
You call yourself the special places. Fucking
what?
Fuck.
I'm referring to him as a whole being a special package.
Oh, you're whole.
I wasn't feeling like a whole, I can tell you.
He's feeling like a piece of motherfucking meat.
But so I go in and grab him, I collect him, and we're going in my car, and he's like, I don't know, you're a stranger. And I'm in a car with a stranger, and you're taking me to go meet another stranger. And I'm just like so excited, because I'm like, I have no idea what the fuck's going to happen. I mean, I had an inkling, but I don't know. And
so exciting.
It was so exciting. And then there was like, of course, a little bit of little scheduling snafus, but it kind of worked.
It all worked out.
It worked out.
Yeah.
Because there was some fucking anticipation.
Yes. There was some, weren't you a little nervous?
I don't know. To a degree, yeah, I was nervous. some of the stuff we talked about, I kind of had an inkling of what was going to go on. I wasn't nervous of the fact that I was meeting somebody new, but it was just playing with somebody in the anticipation of living up to what we had talked about, I think, was what made me the most nervous. Sadder ending up in a hole in someone's basement.
We don't have basements in California. We don't have basements in California.
We would have had to dig a hole.
I don't know. Luckily, as I was told, I'm on the right end of the shovel this morning.
So, when Nancy brought Beast in, I had Nancy put his hood on him.
We were at the bottom of the stairs, and I asked him to put on the hood, and I held his hands up the stairs. Now, this is key. I didn't talk to you about this, and I certainly didn't talk to you about this, but I'm really, like, touching and stuff is not, like, me touching other people touching me, and it's just... So, holding hands is a big deal for me, especially holding a man's hands. And so, I liked that. I got to do that. I like that I got to hold your hands.
Hold his hands and lead him up the stairs?
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd been real hard to climb the stairs without someone leading me.
Well, there's that. But there's that technical thing.
I could have just stood at the top of the stairs and mocked you. And so it began.
But still. So that was nice. I liked that. I liked that.
I felt connected, like you were.
Yes. Yeah. And so, yeah. You know, because people have my, you know... But because, you know, you have male parts and stuff, and then now then the this and that, but this holding hands, that was going to be the point where I was going to decide, all right, am I okay? Am I not okay? And I am okay.
Yeah, I was, you know, honestly, I was concerned. I didn't want to step in and get into the middle of that and upset you. And that was certainly part of the stuff that was on my mind. And, you know, I know that you were there a long time before I showed up. So there's that balance there. I don't want to, you know, I don't cross that line.
A very delicate balance. But we held hands, so that means we're good.
Oh, is that the magical key? You hold hands and you're good?
You do great color commentary, too, really, quite honestly.
So we get upstairs, and Mistress is sitting there looking fucking hot as, like, ever. Like, oh, God, can I have sex? Let's just, like, hey, whoop, let's put him in a corner, and we can have sex.
I had my Monica Lewinsky blue dress on.
Fuck.
Anyway, and so, you know, he came in and then he stood there kind of a little bit on the inside of the doorway. And Nancy and I kind of did a little chit chat, almost as if he wasn't there. Just an object standing in the corner.
Love it. I was kind of jealous.
Then he was wearing cowboy boots. And so, of course, I was like, fuck cowboy boots. And all I kept thinking was, I can't take those off. What a fucking pain in the ass. I was like, God, I have to, like, totally rearrange everything in my head for these fucking cowboy boots. And then, of course, I naturally, I verbalize that because that's who and what I am. I'm going to say anything. And then, you know, did you take them off at that point?
I took them off when I was asked to take them off.
I don't remember when I asked him to take it off.
Stood on one foot, almost fell over.
Yeah.
You did, and then I see you could hold on to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at this point, I can't see anything.
Nope.
No, he can barely breathe.
Could you hear at all?
I could hear everything. Okay. I could hear everything.
That's nice.
So I decided to grab a front row seat because I was gonna live tweet this shit, and it was gonna be good, and it was great. And then Mistress did some unspeakable things that made me a little bit jealous. I was like, hey.
Were you jealous?
Well, I was jealous because, like, I mean, that whole inspection thing, that's one of my fantasies. And so, but...
He was inspected like an animal.
It was great. It was fantastic. And there was just a lot of poking and prodding and a lot of
There was a lot of touching.
Yes. And the look on your face was very fascinating because it really was a property inspection.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a very different kind of focus.
Yeah. It was, what am I working with?
Mm-hmm. What you got?
Mm-hmm. A lot of
A lot of
Yes.
Yeah, that's special.
That's special. Mm. Did that cause you a little bit of concern?
No, just, you know, what is she humming about?
Exactly.
And then I hear... my partner over here making comments.
You mean when you were on all fours and I was violating your ass and your big ass ball sack was visible? And she said, wow, that's some package.
Oh, it's kind of hard to ignore.
Okay.
And then the ass went up and the ass and the
he arched his back like a cat trying to get you to scratch that one spot.
Yes.
It's exactly what he did. Such a whore.
I thought this was take Twitter questions. I didn't realize this was humiliate Boston or Beast. This whole thing has kind of taken a nasty turn.
A nasty turn? I think it's taken a very welcoming turn.
Yeah, and yet I bet his cock is hard.
Ew, I don't want to touch it.
I'm just saying. Just saying. Well, it's probably the true statement there.
Could be.
Could be. Huh.
No, it's not.
Aw.
Nope.
That. Damn it. Oh, well. So, you know, and then there was lots of other things that happened in the inspection process, which was kind of fun.
Yeah, it was great. I really enjoyed watching that. I smoked 2 cigarettes during that whole thing, and it's not because I like, I need a cigarette. No, it was just like, damn, this is hot.
I need a cigarette.
This is
hot. I feel that. All right, I'm ready to get into some of these tough questions.
Yeah, let's do that.
It's okay. Don't worry. Everything that she mockingly says is with love.
Oh, yeah. Not many people get beaten with a candy cane.
Yes!
Awesome!
But it was an acrylic, you know, decoration candy cane, you know, about a good 3.5 feet. Because I didn't have my cane quiver. And so what was I to do? Mm-hmm. What was I to do? I know it was hanging on one of my curtain rods. So I'm like, yes! Let's do this.
Improvise.
Adapt. Overcome. As the Clint Eastwood movie goes. I'm going to dive in with probably the hardest question that was actually sent via text anonymously.
Oh.
This is a tough one. Okay. And I think it's going to take a lot of people, all three of us, chiming in.
All right.
What are some good tools to keep people in a DS relationship from developing feelings they shouldn't while still being able to bond and share intimacy?
Fuck.
Right?
That's tough. Anytime I've ever played with somebody for a length of time, feelings get attached. It's really raw for me. It's an honest, I've hidden it from everybody for a long time. So when you're that honest with somebody, it's hard not to get feelings involved. And like they were saying at the meeting we had the other night, there's got to be that constant reminder of that isn't what this is. And if it's not there, feelings do grow. Feelings come along and then you've got to deal with that. So you call it reaffirmation, or the lady that was at the head of the table called
Ms.
it reaffirmation.
D. Yeah.
And, you know, she was very, very straight about it. You know, that isn't what this is. You're here for a purpose. And I guess it really depends on the type of sub you've got or what they want. But if they're there for a purpose, you remind them of that purpose all the time. Still not sure what my purpose is, but you know what I'm saying, Nancy.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that every morning you have a ritual that you guys do, and that kind of, like she said in the past, resets that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's hard. I completely agree with you. It's hard when you're engaging in really intimate acts. And how do you stop that train? Because once it starts going, once you're like, well, this could be something else. Once you're there, that's fucking hard to stop.
For me, I think some of the tools, tricks, tips, whatever, use a specific name for the person and not specifically a pet name. Beast would be a prime example, or Boston. If I were to choose to call him either of those continually, and didn't attach a great deal of intimacy or tenderness, you know, like I use them in certain times to kind of reaffirm his role. Those sometimes that can work really well as an auditory cue for, you know, this is who you are. You're not Eric, because everybody knows your fucking name.
Names have been changed to protect the innocent.
You're not, you know, that's not who you are. You are Beast, and because that's what the relationship is. And when we're starting to humanize people and bring them closer to us, via calling them their actual name or, you know, whatever it might be, it brings us closer just as general human beings. Mm-hmm. So to keep that separation, helping to try and put in another name in there to kind of constantly remind the other party, especially if you're a dominant, to remind the submissive that that's not who and what we are. We're not, you know, Nancy and Heather. Fuck.
Nobody's gonna know.
You know, we're not, that's not what we are. We're, you know, mistress and sub, you know, if that's the intention, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If it's one of those things where the two parties know, for whatever reasons, let's say that they both have shit going on in their lives and they can't create this bond. They have other partners that, who knows? And so in order to try and keep this great wall of emotion from breaking down, you have to kind of reaffirm who they are via sometimes a name.
I think
sometimes an act.
I think maybe also one of the tools is protocol. I think when you have someone in pretty high protocol, it kind of just, because you and I mean, we have like almost like non-existent protocol.
I wanted a good protocol. It just doesn't happen because we're like best friends.
Exactly.
It's really difficult.
But I would love protocol. Only because I
see that. So, and I've seen that in the past, protocol. And I watch some doms and they're very, okay, this is how this is going to be. And it's very regimented.
Yeah.
I've never found that. Whenever I've played with anybody, I have that ability to get personal pretty quickly with people. I find their level and I communicate on it. And I've never gotten into that big protocol thing. For me, playing or submitting or whatever we do has always been very personal. It's not been on that, you know, you're going to start the session out on your knees and you're going to do this and you're going to do that and you're only going to address me this way and you're not going to speak unless you're spoken to. I've not tied myself into that. I played with a lot of pro doms. And normally you see a lot of that in a pro dom, you know, because they're very detached.
Right.
Lifestyle is different. This is the first time I've dealt with something fully lifestyle. The last dom that I worked with, we did, I would say it's more lifestyle, the way that our play ended up. It didn't start out that way, but it ended up that way. I don't know. I mean, to me, you're right. The protocol in a lot of this separates that.
Oh, yeah. I think also, maybe also developing like a healthy, just like a healthy life outside of your DS,
oh,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, how many times have you heard of someone in an abusive relationship where that abusive partner starts to isolate that person from their friends, their family, and everything else outside of that person so that you only have your abusive partner? Not saying DS is abusive.
Right.
Being very clear about that. But I'm saying more, you know, being out there and spending more time with your friends, other subs, making sure that you're keeping time for yourself. Of course, all of us...
And not obsessing on the other party.
Yeah.
That's the key.
I think that, God, you know, all of us S types, we want to give our D type 100% of us. We want to give them everything. But I think it's necessary to keep a little bit for yourself. Because there could come the day that the relationship changes, it shifts, and it's not what it used to be. And when you've already given that person 100%, what are you left with? You need to have like a little cushion for yourself, almost kind of like that savings account that you save for a rainy day. Because the rainy
Christmas club.
You know, that rainy day when unfortunately your relationship comes to an end or something like this happens where feelings get developed and it changes the entire dynamic. But you know, that's just, I don't know. I mean, I think it's such a hard situation. I can't imagine myself like,
you have to figure out all of the ways for one person personally, how can they try and deny that this is happening, that these emotions are happening. And I think it probably, I was going to say, I think it probably happens more for the submissive than to the dominant, but that's not true. That's not true. I just know that I'm a callous bitch. And I know so many submissive people that talk to me about how they're falling in love with their dominant and what do they do and how do they deal with that. But I do know that D types, I'm playing with my tits, I'm sorry. I do know that D types, don't know why. I do know that there are D types that do absolutely fall head over heels for their subs. I get that, and that's great. And if it's symbiotic, fantastic. It's just when it isn't, which is the challenge. And so I think let's say we've all been in that moment, even in the vanilla context, where we're trying to prevent ourselves from falling. And we all deploy whatever tricks, tips, tools that we have in order to deny that those emotions are there. And the truth is sometimes it's hard to stop, you know, and I know that that is not comforting. But there are moments when I've been like, whatever. But then if I sit there and I quietly think about it, I was like, wow, fuck. I really do care, you know? So there's no hard and fast rule for how to fix it. There's no hard and fast rule how to stop that train.
I think that once it starts going, I think it's very important to communicate that to your partner.
That is interesting because we just got a follow-up question from somebody else.
Oh.
If you're developing feelings, should you tell your master?
Absolutely. I absolutely think you should. So I love Mistress. I love her. And a few months ago, mm-hmm. we were sitting at a Starbucks and I professed my fucking rock hard love for her. Mm-hmm. I am in love with you and I'm going to make you the happiest woman there ever was.
Yep.
And it was what happened afterwards was not at all sparkly and shiny. And let's jump into our carriage that looks like a pumpkin. No, it's not that at all.
No.
It was really sucked.
Yeah.
There was tears. Me, not her. There was tears. And yeah. It was really just it hurt. Because it just, you know, I was being honest and it wasn't for the right reason. I think I was being honest because I wanted to hear her say the same thing to me and she didn't. And that was okay. But I think that
it wasn't.
well, wait, hold on though. I think that it was important to talk about it because if I had just gone on and just let the train go and I would have just been, it would have been just been simmering in my head and I would have just created this really bad situation in which we don't have communication. And if you're in a DS relationship, communication is kind of important.
Yeah.
It's kind of important to be honest with each other. And I'm glad that we had that conversation because it gave you a chance to reassess me and what our relationship was like and what our dynamic was or wasn't. What it needed to be, what kind of adjustments we had to make. And if I'm submitting to you and you're the boss of me and I'm not being completely honest with you about everything, including that, I mean, that just kind of defeats the purpose of submitting to you.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
I think that this allegory, I think it's perfect because you're right. You do need to tell. And you need to be prepared for not getting the answer you like.
Yep.
And you need to, the truth of the matter is you need to be prepared for that. That might mean that it ends the relationship. Because there are some people that simply can't handle that. Or won't, for whatever reason. And that sucks. I get that. And I get that makes it the most terrifying conversation you'll ever have. But, you know, maybe that's not. That wasn't the end for us.
It wasn't. It felt like it, though.
No, I know.
It really fucking did.
No, I know.
Because at the time, I was really convinced that, okay, if I can't have both, if I can't have kink and love in one person, then that's it. There's nothing else out there for me. But that wasn't at all what happened. And of course, my experience can be very different from someone else's. But I guess my point is that I'm glad that I said it. I'm glad that I said it when I did. And I'm glad that I was as raw about it as I was. Because my intent was, of course, to let you know, my love's this big. It's so big. It's going to engulf you. Like
it's so big. You can love me the same way. That's exactly what it was. That's exactly what it was. And I was like, fuck.
I have enough love for the both of us.
All right. Let's have this cock. This cock. Let's have this cock now. Let's have this cock.
Wow.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. And that's
hi, Freud.
Something on your mind? Yeah. Do you want to have a conversation? Yeah. Well,
perhaps.
Blush. Let's have this.
Real blush, like even nose red blush.
Now.
Wow. You should see this. Fanning myself because it's always hot in here.
Yeah, okay, so anyway, yes. So yeah, you're right. You should tell them. It sucks sometimes, but you should tell them. And not on, like, you know, make sure that it's not just you think it, you're feeling it in a little bit. Make sure that it's actually something that's kind of on a good track, you know, because let's be honest, you don't want to Ted Mosby anybody. No. No. And nobody, if you don't get that joke, I'm sorry.
You need to watch How I Met Your Mother.
You need to watch How I Met Your Mother because fucking you don't want a Ted Mosby.
No.
It's just that. It's that simple. So.
I don't regret having told you that, just so you know.
I know you don't.
I don't regret it.
I know you don't. It's funny because you talk about that. You always say, remember that time in Starbucks? You don't ever have to say anymore. I know exactly what you mean.
You realize we haven't really talked about it since.
But we have.
In passing.
In passing, and what you say is, yeah, that really sucked. That's all you say.
Yeah.
Is that really sucked.
Now, question to you. Do you find that when you've got a submissive that's really busy with their own personal life and, you know, they're moving 100 miles an hour, do you find that they're less likely to fall in love than you do somebody who isn't as busy in their own personal life? Or do you find no correlation between
I find them? No correlation whatsoever.
Okay.
No. My hope would be, though, that if they do have a busy life and they have a full life, that maybe that does aid in the kind of the detachment.
Yeah, that to me would aid in the detachment. If you know, when you don't have something occupying you all the time, if you're thinking about it all the time, if it's your whole thought.
Well, let me ask you this then. Do you think that it would make any sort of a difference? You have a very full life, crazy, and you're busy all the time. Does that stop you from thinking about me?
We came about this 10 different directions.
I'm just saying. I'm asking. It's a genuine question.
I know it's a genuine question. I mean, no. We have that conversation all the time. We have conversation all the time. Things got heated up before they got real to a certain degree. And then after this meeting, it's, you know, gelling and doing whatever. But no, I mean, I have times when I'm at work and you're not the focus of my day. You know, I've got...
What?
Yeah, it's true.
Ridiculous. But,
blasphemy.
Sub fail.
No, you know, when you're as busy as I am and you're doing the things that I do and you've got to have focus on what you're doing or you're going to get run over, you know, you can step yourself back from it a little bit. And I think that's healthy. I think if I wasn't as busy as I am, it would be a lot easier to find myself falling into that trap and being too needy. You know, and so I think some people confuse love with being needy.
Dude, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've been struggling a lot lately because I'm trying hard as fuck to find a job. and it's really hard some days because I want to be productive. I want to be busy. I want to be that kind of busy because I like being that kind of busy. And I'm always afraid that that's going to translate into neediness when I'm texting. What are you doing? You want to hang out? You want to do something? And I'm always so scared that it's going to get to that. That it's going to get to that point where my entire life becomes you. Which there's nothing wrong with that because I love you. And I just love you. But, you know, at the same time, I don't think that's necessarily attractive in a sub where...
It's not.
You know, we're of course, I mean, I'm sure it's awesome to have people fawn over you and worship your every fucking move, but I would assume that as a D-type, you want a submissive that has the light, that's productive, that you know, does stuff, that is an independent person.
It's like at that round table, and I'm horrible with names, so please forgive me. I'm very, very lovely lady who sat at the head of the table. And
Miss D.
And she, her comment was she wants all of her subs to be gainfully employed. Because it gives them focus outside of her. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good idea. I think that's healthy. I think if you're not gainfully employed or busy with other things in your life, that it can become very obsessive. And then again, obsession, some people think obsession is love. It's a slippery slope.
I think something like that could definitely impact your submission, you know? Because I don't know about you, but to me, it's like I see her and it's like, the sun comes out and everything is beautiful and all the colors are much brighter than they were before. And I never want that to lose its luster, ever. I don't think it will, but I just, you know, and so I almost feel like if I had it, like if I had a 9-to-5 or if I had something else going on, that it would preserve that. It would preserve that because it's like, fuck, I can't wait to get out of work so I can go and see her. Or you know what? Today I'm going to leave my house super early so I can go and get her some coffee in the morning and be there right, like right before she, yes. So that happens right there.
I like.
There are times that her and I have talked so much and sometimes we'll have that conversation where it's just a flat conversation and I'll get off the phone and I'll have that question in my head of, wow, you know, are we losing that spark? But it's not. It's just that you've had so much conversation that day that things just become kind of mundane.
Yeah.
You know? Yes, so sure. It's good to have that separation now and then.
Yeah.
Good talk, you know. Ask Matt, good talk. We're going to tackle the next really, really hard question, actually.
All right. Sounds good to me.
What advice would you give to close friends plus a married couple? The wife is bi and wants a relationship with a woman or with the woman, but the husband doesn't approve. It's a very poly-oriented question, and we certainly do not profess to be poly experts.
Nope.
This is a communication answer.
Yeah.
It depends on how the relationship is set up. If the husband and wife have, you know, veto power, then they have veto power. Or if it's not an open relationship as of yet, and this is how they're opening it, if one of the two parties isn't okay with opening it, then they're not okay with opening it.
Yeah.
And if that means that the one person that wants to open it is dissatisfied with the relationship and needs to figure something else out, then that's a different question. That's a different answer. But it boils down to, if you're going to have a legitimate open relationship, everybody has to be on the same page.
Everyone has to embrace it.
Everyone has to embrace it. And if that means that you're just going out and swinging and just having sex for sex, great. I don't care. But if that means that you're embracing relationships with emotions and love with multiple people, you know, that's a big conversation. Big. Much bigger than just sex.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of people are more open to accepting that it's just sex. Some people have difficulty accepting that just sex can be just sex. Some people have issues with that. So,
because I think, you know, there's that sense of almost feeling threatened.
Precisely.
You know, that someone is going to be better than you.
It is interesting that a man would feel threatened by a woman, by bringing a woman as a third.
Why do you think that is?
Because I don't understand why they would be threatening. It's a completely different person. I mean, it's a different gender. Yeah, why would that threaten you?
That's, to me, that's no threat. That's
precisely. So when I was married.
Wait, hold on. Wait, I'm not ready to move on.
Okay.
I guess, I don't know. I'm just trying to understand how, but if it was another dude, that would be threatening?
Yeah,
because it's you know, it's the same thing. You get something, I get something totally different from you than I would from him. Uh-huh. You guys are totally different in every way. Uh-huh. But you've got the parts are different. And
lady parts.
and you fulfill something very different for me. So, you know, girl sex fulfills something very different, or even just, you know, girl relationship fulfills something very different from boy relationship.
Okay. I'm sorry. I like had to like wrap my mind around.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Do you
yes.
see why to me it doesn't make sense? So when I was married, I told my husband, hey, you know, I want to have sex with women. I want to just go have sex with women. That's what I want to do. And he was like, no, then I'm going to have sex with women. I was like, how does that work? He's like, well, if you can have sex with women, then I can have sex with women. I was like, okay, no. See, here's the deal. I'm going to have sex with women, so you can have sex with men. See how that works? And he goes, no. And I was like, okay, that's how it's going to go. If I have sex with women, you can have sex with men. And he's like, well, I don't want to have sex with men, so you can't have sex with women. I was like, okay, that makes everybody happy. Ex-husband, want to point out. It's just one of many reasons. So, but it's... I wouldn't suggest having that conversation because that's not a good open conversation. But it's also a good reason to help explain and understand the motivations. Why does she want to have this relationship with this woman? And what is the impact that it's going to have on the husband? The truth of the matter is he's probably saying no because of fear, because he's afraid. And what is he afraid of? And how can she talk him through that so he isn't afraid? Not in a manipulative way, but in a true, genuine, caring, I want us to be okay. How can we be okay?
Because the problem itself might not even be that big.
Right.
It's just a matter of dissecting it and really getting down to the root of it.
And really making sure that you're open and communicating and talking about it and that there's no fear. Does he want to hear all of the details? Does he want to know nothing? You know, does he want to believe they just went out for drinks?
So you went out with the waiter.
I went out with the waiter.
And I knew this was going to happen. And I had like this total like internal dialogue with myself. Well, do I want to know everything that happens? Do I want to know if she has sex? Do I want to know how the sex was? Do I want details about the sex act? Do I want to know if he was any good? Do I want to know what his penis looked like? All of these things, all these questions.
You want to know what his penis looked
really?
Like.
Really? Okay. We'll talk about that later. But I really struggled with it. But what it came down to is, okay, if I ask for details, again, I need to be ready for what I hear.
Precisely. You need to be ready for the answer.
Mm-hmm. Not knowing is worse than knowing.
No, I would have to disagree.
Depends.
No.
Each person is different.
For me.
Well, for you.
For me, not knowing is worse because your mind just tears you up. It's, oh my God, what if? It's far worse for me.
You know, there are instances for me in which that is horrible. And I ask for the details simply for the fact that I don't want to terrorize myself with things that probably didn't even happen.
And that's his point.
But I think sometimes, like, it's just a matter, like, I don't even know how easily this happens, but I just like brush it off. I just let it go. Like, whatever. So she did this. Okay. She may or may not have done this. Oh, whatever.
She may or may not. I don't know.
I'm
going to let it go.
But, you know, but I mean, of course, in our dynamic, it's very different because you're going to go and fuck whoever the fuck you want to, regardless of what the fuck I say. But I liked that at least that there was a conversation afterwards.
Yep.
You know what? There was like this like touching base and just kind of resetting us.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think
that's my job to make sure that we're okay.
And I think that in a married couple who maybe doesn't have DS, I don't know, but I think also in a situation like this where she wants to go and sleep with another woman, I think it's important to also come back and reset.
Yep.
You know, and
that's,
it just
that's
kind of
their primary.
Mm-hmm.
That's, yeah, absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly. I agree. I think that was good.
I think so too. What other question was there?
The next one, I don't want to answer it. It's kind of a vain question.
Well,
so Kitty would like to ask you what you like most about having a sub and what made you want to be a mistress/dominant. So I guess that's a question for me.
I think it's a fantastic question.
What do I like most about having a sub? I like that my bed gets made and Nancy sleeps over. The service, I love taking care of people, if that makes sense. Although what I'm doing is not necessarily giving person exactly what they want. There's a lot of things that I do, like, and you can attest to this, that is what you need and you don't want to do it at all.
Fuck no.
But it's what you need.
And I do it.
And you do it because that's what you're supposed to do. And I enjoy seeing the fruits of my labor, of the benefits that you reap from doing these things that I make you do, that you need to do, that you don't want to do. So I like that. That's one of the big components that I like about it. It's like it's like a live science project, but, you know, with affection. And why am I a dominant? Was that the question?
No. The question was, shit, now I gotta go back. Question, what made you want to be a mistress/dominant?
It's like asking you what made you want to be a lesbian. that's just what I am. That's just who I am. I couldn't imagine being anything else. I couldn't.
Yeah. I figured you'd answer that.
Yeah, I don't, you know, it's like, what makes you a submissive? You know, it's just who you are. What makes, you know, Beast a switch? It's just who he is.
So that you don't feel so vain, what I like most about being a sub is that I get to take these things that I happen to be really good at, but that are really hard to do for myself, and do them for other people. Make other people's lives easier.
Right.
Because that small detail of making your bed, I don't make my own bed. I don't.
That makes me feel actually better.
I don't make my own bed, but I mean, I have really faulty logic. I totally feel like, well, maybe in the middle of the day I want to take a nap. I just, you know, whatever.
It's going to look the same in the morning anyway.
I know. I love my bed made, though. It's so pretty.
It does. And I like,
and
I like,
the pillows are on it.
Yeah. And I like doing that so that it gets that reaction.
Yeah. You set the bar a little high on that. I got that yesterday morning because I was the last one downstairs. So last night when we go up over the stairs and she turns the lights on and she looks at me with this just drop. Face drop. What? You didn't make the bed? Really? You didn't make my bed? No, I was summoned to the first level.
He was summoned. Come down now.
Wow. That's crazy.
And I sent him a text. I just texted him to come down. Awesome. But he didn't make the bed. And I was like, because I love it. You spend the night and my bed's made in the morning. And I fucking love that. And I walk in, I was like, that is made. It makes me so happy. And so when we walked in and my bed was just a disheveled mess because it's hot and I like a blanket and I don't like a blanket and I throw it off and I keep it on and then I was just like, you didn't make my bed. And I was really kind of disappointed.
So when she woke up in the middle of the night and the bed was all disheveled, I snuck around and put it together and she came back and I'm like, hey, I made the bed.
Actually, it's true, we did. It wasn't like your bed
look
making.
Over
but
here, look over here. I made the bed. It's all better now. You forgot about that, right?
But I think that's what I like about... I think but that's what I like is that we all have different abilities. We're like, X-Men or some shit.
X-Men?
Oh, yeah. If I were an X-Men, I'd be Rogue, just saying.
You'd be Rogue?
Yes. Or the Phoenix. I mean, Jean Grey, but only after she turns into the Phoenix. I'm such a nerd.
It's okay. I got all of that.
I'm glad. And that's why this works. but there's things that you're going to be able to do for her that I can't do, that I suck at, you know?
I'm putting a hard point over my bed, yes.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Right? Exactly. What? Fuck, I don't have any idea.
You know?
Yeah, I've already got them picked up. I'm laying there and looking at the ceiling and going, okay, there's the framing. 10 minutes I can do this.
Yeah, I'm like, whatever.
How can you do that in 10 minutes? I've already got it done. It's done up here.
So you know, I like that. That's what I like, is that he and I can fit together.
Yeah.
Like but, that, but, and then give you like, it's like ultra sub.
Correct.
You see, that's what I wanted. I mean, when
two for one.
When we first started this, I made a real effort to reach out to you.
Yes.
Ow.
And this kind of may bring us back to the original topic.
Yes.
But I reached out to you, and because I didn't want to come in and be, no, it's find a way to fit. Find a way to work together. There's a common goal.
Yes. Yes.
There's a common goal. You got to find the common goal, and the two of you work together. Mm-hmm. And if you can't, then you've got a problem. You know, if it's that, then someone's got to make a decision, and then things get ugly, and then that just doesn't end well for anybody.
No, for nobody.
So no, I mean I made a real effort. You know, mm-hmm. I reached out to you on Twitter, and you and I basically said, okay, interview, go ahead.
Yeah, that
and
was
we
awesome.
Did like a 4-day. You know, I'd get 50 questions a day, and.
Yeah.
You took a little too long to answer. What are you thinking about?
I'm really good at pre-screening.
Yeah, I was pre-screened like son of a bitch.
Yeah. Well, I bet it, and I forgot who I said this to, but you know, I think that like, I almost have like this like sense of like, I'm going to protect my mistress. Although my mistress can take care of her fucking self. I'm just telling you, she can kick someone's ass if she needed to.
Yeah.
But you know, because I don't know. You inspire this just like, I'm going to put you in a bubble and I'm just going to protect you.
Is that it? I need protection? Is that it?
You don't need protection. but
maybe
I don't know.
Yourself. ooh, that's that look. You love that look. That one in the crock pot.
Yeah, that's crock pot.
That's going to hurt later.
We only have about like 8 minutes left. So if you are have been listening this whole time and you've been trying to gather the courage to call, our number is 800-893-9562, 800-893-9562, or you can tweet us as well. I have a question for you, Mistress.
Yes, sweetie pie.
I love when you do that. Because you call me sweet things, but then it's like, but then like you can turn around and call me really filthy things too.
I do, don't I?
Yeah.
Yes, though. You had a question.
how do you juggle the DS and the kinky and the filthy with all of your, because you have responsibilities outside of us.
What?
You have a life.
What?
Pshaw.
Right. Crazy.
And, you know, they're pretty demanding responsibilities.
Yeah.
And you said it yourself earlier, you have this like caretaking kind of feel.
I'm very nurturing.
Right.
I'm a self-proclaimed nurturing sadist.
So that's a lot of work.
I have no fucking idea. It's a lot of work.
How do you do it?
I don't know. How does anybody do it? How does a single mom working two jobs do it? How does, you know, it's just, it gets done. Things become priorities. God bless technology. I, you know, because I can do things via texting and email, et cetera, which keep, you know, various subs, you know, happy and know that they're in my thoughts and that if there's a task to be given, a task can be given. It's, you know, it's a juggle and sometimes I drop balls. Sometimes I drop a lot of balls. And because I'm human and sometimes I just want a break. Sometimes I do. And you know that. You've been there.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I just don't want to do anything right now. I just don't. I mean, fine. And you come over and we hang out like friends. And that's what we do. We hang out like friends and you torture me with Twilight movies.
That's beautiful, by the way.
And it's, yeah, and that's like, and the truth is in that moment, because I don't have to be the mistress, that service. Because you might be wanting to give me some kind of submission. But I don't want to take care of somebody else. I don't want to right then. And that is service, in my opinion.
That's awesome.
So that's how I do it.
That's pretty cool.
Poorly. I do it poorly.
Silly.
I just AP'd.
Yeah.
I totally AP'd.
You just AP'd.
Oh, well, life goes on.
It was like last night. You know, you let go. And that was nice. You let go, and we didn't have that going on last night.
Well, it was vanilla date.
Yeah, it was vanilla. But
it was vanilla.
But it was you had let go of it, and there wasn't that thing going on. There was just two people having a conversation, and it was relaxing. And you know, we both got a chance to let our guard down and talk about, okay, how has this gone so far? And
right.
you know, I'm trying to feel out where we are, and you know, from your point of view, how everything had gone. There wasn't that per se protocol. There was just two people who genuinely care about each other and each other's well-being, but you're having conversation and you know what I'm talking
about. Yeah, the DS overtone kind of takes back seat.
Yeah, it was gone. It was just put back here and here we are having, you know, conversation. We're having dinner and it's like, hey, you know, what is this sauce on my, because my palate isn't very...
It's not very refined, not like mine.
So you know, that's nice, and it's not, but not many people get that either. You know, that's part of what I really like about this whole lifestyle thing, is compared to, you know, you get to see behind the curtain.
Yeah,
you know, they're real people.
Absolutely,
it's not that I'm the dommy dom.
I don't ever do that.
No, but
I would laugh at myself.
It's funny when you try to.
Well, because I laugh. I'm a dommy dom.
It's silly.
Yep.
One of the parts about the weekend that has touched me the most was watching you two the other night in the club. And it was real, you guys. You should have seen it. It was just, we're in this open dungeon and everything's going on around us, and it's just like there's this whole little world where I'm sitting beside Mistress, and here's Nancy at her feet, and Nancy's just lost in this world of magic. You know, she's gone. She's not even with us. She's just got her head rubbing on Mistress's leg, and there's this this whole thing, and I just sat back and I witnessed it all, and I thought to myself, well, you know, that's really cool. She's lost in that moment, and she was gone somewhere on her own little ride.
Yep.
It was cool as shit, right? So I get up, and I literally leave the area, and it's Nancy doesn't notice. She's not noticing people around her. She's not. She sees nothing. Mm-mm. All she is she's sitting on the floor in a club full of people, and she's got her head driven into to the thigh of her mistress.
Until she tried to nuzzle her nose into my crotch like a fucking dog.
That smells so good.
So I, you know, that's
that was nice.
What
I get for not wearing panties.
That's cool. I'm glad you noticed that.
I did. And it was a real connection there. And it's, that to me is the fun part. You see that connection, that it's just a connect. You know, it's real.
Mm-hmm.
And to see somebody let go and with very little effort, you were gone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't that, for me, I can't get there like that. I have to have that beating. I have to have that cathartic pounding to get me to let go. And for you, it was just a matter of being there at her feet. It was beautiful.
You know, and most of them, that's really all I want.
Yeah, but that was one of my highlights of the weekend, watching that. That was just beautiful.
That's cool. Thank you. And that made me really happy.
You look so cute.
It was, oh my God, you guys don't even...
And then over in the other corner, you're getting to watch Master Fauna teach this Navi how to flog somebody. I mean, what a cool experience, guys. If you've never been to a public dungeon, that was hot as shit, right?
It's really cool.
You're watching people do their thing, and it's like flogging 101 over there in the corner, you know? And this young girl is learning to flog her boyfriend, and it's very, okay, now you can't hit him here, and this isn't... And then you see her light up like a flower, you know? That was... You learn, and I'm a people watcher. I like that shit.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was very, very, very cool to watch that. And then it got really hot because they were both flogging him at the same time. It was great.
It's true. We're just about out of time.
Already? Wow.
58 minutes, man. It flies.
It's fucking nuts.
It does.
Thanks for having me in, guys.
Thank you. Thank you for coming.
Yeah.
Thank you for flying out.
And you'll come again, and then we'll have another amazing weekend.
Oh, I'll come again and again, yeah.
Yeah.
You really? Really?
What?
Anyway, yeah, I'm tired.
Drew, you look all tuckered out.
I am. It's weird. Anyway, I'm in a weird, weird headspace right now. Next week?
Next.
Is it confirmed?
No, it's not confirmed.
Okay, never mind. Then we're not going to talk about it. But, you know, follow us on the Twitter. Mm-hmm. I'm Insidious Muse.
And I'm Service Slut.
Service Slut. He's Peeping Eric. Until he changes it, because that's a weird name. And it's at
cheater
the
McCheater.
Underscore... Cheater McCheater. It's at the underscore love underscore bite. And like then, our Facebook page.
Yes. And if you do that, then we'll be updating what we'll be doing next Sunday.
Absolutely.
So that's it.
Have a good week.
Bye.
Skid Row Studios.
You're listening to 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 Skid Row Studios.
We're listening to Skid Row Studios.
I'm not doing it with you.
Please do it with me.
Fuck that.
Can you please have sex with me?
At Skid Row Studios?
At Skid Row Studios.
Maybe.
Okay.